Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you, Ben?
Oh, good. Thanks for holding on for me. Running a little late here, but we made it. We made it. We didn't want to miss this for the world.
Oh, you're good, Ben. Our listeners don't know. We just
True.
grinding. Plus, that hold music is fire on Anchor.
It?
Yeah. Plus, pucks have been dropped. I've got my Jaeger shirt on, cracked a beer. I think this might be the first time I've had a beer during the podcast, Ben.
Wow, that's pretty. That's wow. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to cut back on the weeknight drinking.
Understandable.
Now, granted, we just had a nice drink plenty weekend back in the bay, so
Sure. But
surprising to get
that
back on the
was
train.
special event, special event.
Special event. I know you like to give everyone the date, Ben. It's October 12th, 2021, 5:49 Mountain, 4:49 Pacific.
I appreciate that. I'm sure that our audience also really appreciates that too.
You sound good, Ben. You sound like you're in a different place than normal,
Like
physically.
mentally, oh, physically. Physically, same place. Not sure what
Just the
else is
audio
different.
quality sounds good. We'll see how it progresses.
I really don't know what what any of, yeah. I wish I knew, honestly. I really do.
It never really takes away from anything. It's just like occasionally you can't fully understand
Well, when I am
what you
going like
said.
5 times speed, that's like when I'm all coked up. That's what's going
Yeah,
on.
exactly.
Yeah.
So where are we, Ben? We're at week 6 of the podcast, 5 weeks into the
Wow.
NFL
Yeah.
season, which is sick. It just chugs along, things are really kind of starting to take form. Granted, there's still a lot of time left. But we're going to go ahead and get started. And we are recording in traditional order. We thought we might have to go Dan interview first, this recap segment second, but this is going to feel nice and normal and smooth. The Taco Bell takeaway of the week. Haven't been to Taco Bell in a while, have you?
It's probably been about a month and a half.
Okay.
But it's been not as often as I, hope as I wish.
I'll be honest, Ben, I don't know if I've been there in the 6 months that I've lived in Denver.
It's probably
But that
better for you.
seems
It's
unlikely.
just better for you. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to go to Taco Bell. It's
Yeah, but
good, but
it's
you
nice
don't
to
need to
indulge.
go. Understandable, yeah. A little chalupa every now and then.
All right, I'm gonna keep my takeaway relatively brief. Being back home, I did watch a fair amount of football, but also like missed a fair amount because I didn't have control over my variables, if you know what I mean.
I just love
Was that
the term, but
was that
yeah.
a restaurant for the morning games, and then was driving, and then dad's in the afternoon, was like hungover from the wedding, also kind
I
of buzzed from
understand.
lunch. So anyway,
I just love how you describe it. Control your variables. I love that.
yeah, missed half of the Sunday night games. It wasn't the dream scenario. Not a lot of red zone in my life this Sunday. But
Happens.
we're going to give a shout to the Arizona Cardinals, the only 5-0 team in the league. I don't actually know if the game was ugly. I just know the game was low scoring. But I believe they proved that they can win ugly. Not that a win over the Niners with Trey Lance is the biggest deal in the world, because they're obviously having their own struggles. But just nice to see the Cardinals now show us that they can win in a variety of different ways. We seem to lead off, or at least maybe it's just me, but seem to lead off with an NFC West storyline almost every week with between them and the Rams. And obviously the Hawks and Niners have had their ups and downs. And then very quickly, Ben, that the Bills aren't fucking around. They took care of Kansas City with ease. They're proving that last year wasn't a fluke. Josh Allen's a star.
Yep.
Not that I necessarily didn't believe it. It's just I still wanted more sample size just because I'm still relatively new to this
It
team, but
seems like everything's just clicking for the Bills, like defense, offense. I think it's super cool that the Bills are doing like hockey shifts for their defensive line. I don't know if you saw that,
I
but they have
didn't, but
like,
I like it.
yeah, they have like 8 to 10 guys that are just like, just going in and out on a repetitive basis. And I love that. I don't know why most teams don't do that, but that's just fresh bodies pass rushing. Why not? So yeah.
Absolutely.
I'll keep mine pretty brief too, but kickers, LOL. What a week. What a week.
I hate kickers.
I mean, the main one, I think, you know, shout out to Joe here. You know, the Packers, Mason Crosby and Evan McPherson went back and forth missing field goals. I think they missed five consecutive field goals.
Yeah.
Between, I want to say, 31 and like 54 yards. And then there was a bunch of other mixed field goals, missed extra points all throughout the week.
Oh, yeah.
I think last night? Yeah. I think it was just kind of a random coincidence of a week, but it will be interesting to see going forward what will happen, if anything will. I don't know. I mean, I feel like kicking is a lot like golf to me. You know, it's so mental that – or like taking free throws, you know, something like that where you're just like – you can get so in your head, and like if something goes wrong, it can really take effect for quite a while. So, I mean, I feel like most of these guys, you know, have been through that already. Mason Crosby for sure. Yep. But you just never know with a lot of the other guys. So you just never know.
Yeah. Look, I'm not a big fan of kickers. I think the decision to move the extra point to 33-yarder is stupid. That brings kickers more into play. We don't need that. We want our skill position players to decide the game. And the guys in the trenches, of course. But I think they should award 7 points for a touchdown, speed up the games a little bit by just completely eliminating that play. I mean, shit, if you wanted to eliminate kickers altogether and just have to go for it on fourth down or punt, I'm still down with that. I'm aware that would dramatically change the game. But
so,
like, eliminate kickers altogether. No field goals, no extra points, period. You either go for it or you punt.
Okay, so let me back up here a little bit. I'm interested. after a team scores, do they have the option to say, "Hey, I want to go for two," and then they go for two,
or they
just have the option to take that 1 point and just take it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or they would have to run a play to get two.
Yeah, I get you. Okay. I was just making sure.
This is a half-baked idea that will never happen.
No, but. And I'm also like three-quarters baked right now, so like we're putting our noggins together right now. The punting one that you just said, did you say that like you don't want teams to punt? Did I miss that? Did I hear that?
No, I just meant if you would eliminate kickers altogether, your only choices would be to go for it on fourth down or to punt. So if you're on like the 30-yard line, like – you might consider
No long something. Field goals. So then your boy
no field goals at all. Period.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So your boy JT though couldn't hit that.
Yeah. That'd be a bummer. I'm just saying if kickers continue to change the outcomes of games like this,
I understand. You
know, it's time to either train them better, both physically and mentally, or just eliminate the position. That's my bold take of the week, Ben.
I just want to look out for your boy JT.
Well, yeah, he's the GOAT. And I love him. Week 5 scores and recap. Ben, electric week in the Dynasty Kings after a couple of slow weeks, if we're being honest.
It was.
The scores were high. The matchups were close in some. There were comebacks. It was really good stuff. We'll start off with the impressive performance, the Marvelous Llamas, 169.5 over Skaggs Island, 103.5. Quick side note, Ben, in my two main leagues, I faced 169.5 and 177 points, both half point PPR. It's tough to win games like that, Ben. but, you know, hats off to LaMarvelous Llamas. Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews went off.
Everyone.
Bees Nuts, the newlywed. Dan Pilger will be on the podcast later for his interview fresh off of getting married. A 1-point victory over Bellify Island. Highly likely to be decided the Geico game of the week. 137.5 to 136.5. Massive game from Justin Herbert once again. Ben, your highest point total of the season for yourself, 97.5.
Thank you.
Versus all Mahomes' ball, 119.5. Rob now moves into first place, a spot he's extremely comfortable in. Darren Narwhalers, 134.5. That name's still not rolling off the tongue for me. Golden Bandits, 93.5 points. So that's a pretty big win for Zach over Anthony. All three 3-0 teams have dropped two straight. You hate to see it. Another big one, another comeback victory on Monday night. The Santa Fe football team 101, Maz Meatloaf 98. That pushes Travis to 3-2, Nick to 2-3.
Great guy, Travis.
That was thanks to Michael Pittman. Big Monday night performance with 17 total points in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Scored a late, not a late touchdown, but a touchdown. And lastly, William Sale gets his second victory of the season and second in a row. 131.5 versus 94 Scott's Tots. The Reeland Scott's Tots at 1-4 there. So we foreshadowed it, Ben. Geico game of the week, Buck Progressive. Dan 137.5, Joe 136.5. Thoughts on that matchup?
Sorry, my headphones just cut out. Can you just repeat that last question one more time?
No worries. Just thoughts on the matchup between Dan and Joe. 1 point win for Dan. Yes, just yes, got married. Yes, yes. Huge fantasy win.
Well, first of all, like just shout out to Dan in general for living the great life. I know that he's got a beautiful bride, beautiful wife, a beautiful dog, living the great life. What a victory, though, and what a victory. I mean, come on. What a weekend Dan had. One-point win against Joe in a pretty high-scoring matchup here. Gotta love it. Joe, you know, like, unfortunately, I think it was, like, destiny that this had to happen this week like this. So no hard feelings towards Joe. It was just Dan's week, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Sunday Night Football, Clyde Edwards-Helaire on Dan's team before he got hurt. Emmanuel Sanders on Joe's team. Sanders did outscore CEH by 16 points in a losing effort, though. He didn't quite clip him by enough.
Two touchdowns, right, Emmanuel Sanders this week?
Something like that. I don't have it in front of me, but
Emmanuel, yeah, two touchdown Sanders. That's his new nickname.
Yeah. And to be honest, that once again, a lightning delay made it so it was too hard for me to stay up for that game because I was exhausted on Sunday, naturally.
That was tough. I stayed up for it, but it was tough.
Yeah. I was even in the Pacific time zone, too. So I really didn't have a good excuse. Trust me. But actually, I was kind of up for it. I was just like in bed on my iPad. Quick honorable mention. We talked about it. Travis with a comeback win over Nick, thanks to Pittman Jr.'s 17 good on guy, Monday Travis. Night Football. If I remember correctly, he was trailing by 14 heading into Monday Night Football with Pittman. That's kind of your ultimate, like, you don't know what's going to happen because 14 is very reasonable, but also, like, is a decent amount of points. Week 5, superlatives, Ben. As we talked about, we're going to skip best start. Wasn't really any good candidates there. Pretty much everyone started who they should have.
Everyone did a great job this week. Everyone did a great job. You guys really did a good job. Shout out to everyone. But it's okay.
You're everyone waiting else for Tim Patrick really, to enter his lineup.
Yeah, exactly. But everyone else really pulled their weight this week. So great job,
everyone. Yeah. So I just wanted to give a quick shout out that in the Geico matchup of the week. Although now I'm kind of questioning myself, so let me take a quick moment. The Dan versus Joe matchup here. If I remember correctly, each team had four guys that were under 5 points, but that might have been the Travis matchup. Let me check here. Good thing we've got a computer in front of us.
Sounds more like the Travis matchup just because that wasn't like a high-scoring matchup, you know?
That's actually my guess as well, and I'm going to confirm that right now, Ben. But anyway, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to them scoring both close to 100 points. Let's go ahead and confirm it now that we open the box score. The Santa Fe football team, again, 101, 98 for Maz Meatloaf. Yeah, that's going to be 5 each. So we had Saquon with 0 for Travis, Mooney with 4.5, AJ Green 1.5, Goddard 3, Terrence Marshall 2, and that's a winning effort. So just the rest of his guys just balled out. And then Maz Meatloaf, not only the 9 points from Russell Wilson after he got hurt, 2.5, 3, 4.5, 3. So, yeah.
Tough.
A little bit ugly.
Can I say something about Russell really quickly? You know,
of course.
As a Seahawks fan, we really want him to get healthy. We want him to stay healthy. That's about it. Just hope he does well. Hope Sierra is well. Hope the family's well.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is this is just part of God's plan. And, you know, we just kind of have to see ultimately where it goes from here.
Honestly, it's too bad that God or Nano Bubbles didn't fix this injury. We'll see if he has something else, maybe.
What was that? Did you say Nano Bubbles?
Have you never heard of his Nano Bubbles?
No, I have not. I don't follow
He came out with like a – Oh, he came out with like a water called nanobubbles that was supposed to fix like concussions, supposedly.
Interesting.
It didn't do that at all.
Like they already tried it and everything.
Yeah, like it was like bad. It was like a bad flop. Yeah, very bad flop.
Okay, no worries. Shouts Russell Wilson, shouts God.
Yeah.
Worst sit of the week. We do have candidates for this. I'll make it quick. We're going to go with Air Blair, who did get the win, did move into first place. So, not an impactful result. But Chuba Hubbard, his boy, first of all, as we've talked about, 15 and a half points, the starting running back for the Panthers. You'd think with someone like Rob's depth, he'd probably have Hubbard in if McCaffrey's not going to play. But, decides not to. He did ultimately have four starters who scored under 6 points, including Jamal Williams, who was a starting running back. So anyway, Rob, that's going to be worst of the week, bro.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, bruh. All right, Moz Meatloaf, Hunter Henry. I know it's not like exactly like a tough like it's a tough play to play him.
Right.
But
He picked him up recently off waivers, I think, because Will dropped him.
I think so as well, which is kind of surprising to be honest
And
with
he
you.
had
But
two
hey.
tight ends in his lineup again.
He had Jared Cook and he had TJ Hawkinson in there.
Yep.
Now I get you gotta keep Hawk in there for sure. Jared
Right.
Cook, I just don't know. You
He
just
keeps
don't
starting
know.
him. We've talked about it several weeks. He
I
starts
know.
Jared Cook a lot.
And he also started like
Yeah.
the
Olamide's Zaccakaus and Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, exactly. And so like just to put this in
Boys are hurt.
perspective
I mean,
here.
Devontae Parker, Christian McCaffrey's hurt.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
Kittle's
But just
hurt,
put this in
newly acquired.
perspective. His two tight ends, Jared Cook and TJ Hawkinson, combined for 5.5 points.
Yep.
And his flexes, however you pronounce that one guy's name, and Kendrick Bourne combined for 7.5 points when Hunter Henry scored 16. Would have won the game if he had started him. Just saying.
Over one of any one of those guys, yeah.
Yep.
Look, it's a facts business, man, and that's just a fact.
Hey, listen. Stephen A. Smith says the same thing. And I'm not comparing
Fuck Stephen
myself to
A.
Stephen
Smith.
A. Smith, but I might have the net worth like him one day. You just never know.
Talk about people who deserve to be canceled, Stephen A. Smith.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. First of all, Louisiana Raging Cajuns, if you didn't bet on them tonight, you lost them money. Just letting you know.
Ooh, what's the score?
It's 14-3. App State is trash. Go Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
Let's go, Cajuns.
What were we just talking about?
We were talking about canceling Stephen A. Smith, but we don't need to go deep on this tangent.
Just one quick question. Would you rather cancel Skip or Stephen A?
See, now that Skip has a stupid little show on Fox, I never hear from him.
You just don't give a
And
fuck. Yeah, I get you. You just don't.
nor do
It's
I
not
really
even
hear
like,
from Stephen A.
it's
Smith.
not
Whatever.
like
I
relevant.
don't watch either of them. I just like I see their
We're
face
good.
and I
We're
see a
good.
video and I'm like,
I'm
yeah,
right
we're
there
good.
with you. I'm right there with you. Trust me.
Ben, I even brainstormed an e-letter sponsor for the eye-opening performance of the week. Couldn't come up with one today.
I've been looking. It's
Ease?
tough.
Ease? Do they have Ease in your area, Ben? EAZE, the weed delivery company?
No.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and add that to the doc. I know you don't know what
Okay.
it is, but they
That's
must,
fine.
I think they would have had it in Seattle, but maybe not. Anyway,
I'm sure they're a
Ease,
good sponsor.
I'll be honest, it's not the greatest weed delivery service in the world, but it is easy. The app's friendly to use. They have some pretty funny billboards in the Bay Area because like they make pot jokes on them.
Love
And I
that.
smoke pot. I know you do as well, Ben. So anyway, that's going to be the Ease
Just every now
eye-opening
and then.
performance of the week. For me, I wrote Lamar Jackson, good Lord,
Yes.
37 of 43, 442. That's 86%, by the way.
It's un okay, so here's
Four
the thing.
touchdowns,
Yeah, no,
14 carries, 62
continue this.
yards,
Really
44
quickly.
fantasy points.
I mean, it's unreal. He unreal what he did last night. Real quickly, I took Lamar over 1.5 touchdowns passing and over
Hell yeah.
61.5 yards rushing last night
Wow.
combined at like plus like 350.
You
So
parlayed
yeah, let
them?
me yeah,
Or there was like.
it was a sweat. It was a boosted odd parlay. It was a sweat, but I got it. So we made it.
That's so
But
sick.
so here's one quick thing though. I don't remember. I feel like he struggled a little bit at the beginning of the game. Clearly, right?
I was on a
Okay.
plane when the game started, so
I just remember
I.
him struggling at the beginning of the game. But the fact that he completed 86%
Well,
of his,
yeah,
he
second
finished,
half, he went nuts.
I mean, that's just insane. And then I just didn't realize the 86% until today.
Right.
And with the 400 yards passing, four touchdowns, no picks.
I mean, he was feeding Mark Andrews and then, of course, Hollywood as well. But
yeah. So, unreal performance. He skyrockets up MVP boards immediately.
As he should. Ravens continue to grind. They had no business winning that game. And quite frankly, Blankenship just hits a normal field goal. Yeah. They don't win that game.
He did not look good last night.
Yeah. I've actually realized throughout going through this that I've got some solid content for Ben's Betting Corner of the Week. So I'm excited for that segment. honorable mention, Kadarius Toney.
Love that.
I didn't realize he had like 76 yards last week. So good for him on that. But to me, he came out of nowhere to the point where when I saw him making plays, I was like, who is this 89 guy? Because I wasn't watching the volume. Who's this 89 guy on the Giants? Because I just assumed Kadarius Toney would be like a single-digit number. I don't know what he wore at Florida, but he just seems like that kind of guy. Like 89 is like a big receiver. Or
I'm pretty sure he wore a single-digit at Florida. I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I think one maybe. And so anyway, I feel like when he did too. Wearing 89, I was just like, I have no idea who that is, but I keep seeing this guy make plays. Anyway, 10 catches, 189 yards. Even included a carry for 7 yards, 23 fantasy points. It just would be nice. I root for pretty much all young receivers. I didn't know a whole lot about him coming out of Florida. Certainly wasn't opposed to him, but it would be nice to see him continue. And the Giants are a fucking mess of injuries, so we'll see how that all plays out. But
I just knew that he moved a lot differently than a lot of players. But, hey, you know what? He had a great game. He punched someone, got ejected. So all around a really good game. So,
that sounds like a Florida Gator to me, though.
Exactly. I have him and Marquise now. Nice little duo. I've had a lot of people come up to me and offer not great packages. So just saying, you want those two. You want one of those two. You better come
right. You can stop trading, Ben. Just keep your assets.
You better come right.
Keep your assets.
Trust me. I'm going to keep most of these. I told most of these guys, unless an offer blows me away, I'm keeping everyone. That's what I've been saying. So come right if you want to offer me.
That's right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Who you got, Ben?
Yeah, okay. So, listen, rookie, Kyle Pitts. He struggled a little bit at the beginning of the season. I think, you know, the Atlanta Falcons struggled a little bit at the beginning of the season. Wide receivers were out all this week, so a bunch of them. So he had a lot of opportunities, and let me tell you, he took advantage of it. 9 catches, 119 yards, had a touchdown. 21.5 fantasy points, kind of his breakout performance of this year. I think he really showed what he can do at his size and how athletic he can be. So excited to see what he can do for the rest of the season. I went double tight end here for my honorable mention. Now, this guy is not a great guy. He is a racist from Ole Miss.
That's where he went to school?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Eli Manning is also a racist, too. So it's just, you know, how it goes down there.
Wow.
Anyways, I'm going to get sued one day, honestly. I really am for defamation, probably. I know.
Because there's nothing online about Dawson Knox being racist.
I know. I love that you Googled that.
I had to, because you keep saying it.
Well, one day
it's like, we can't keep giving him props if that's facts.
3 catches, 117 yards, had a touchdown. He's been having big weeks. But I guess
you think he's been the number one tight end?
Him and Dalton Schultz have been like the big surprises of this year at the tight end position. And so I was just like, I don't know, maybe not an eye-opening stat line for this year, but the fact that he's done it 5 weeks in a row now was eye-opening for me.
Absolutely. I was wrong. All right, so can you guess who's number one in tight end scoring this year, fantasy points?
Is it not Darren Waller?
It's not. He's third.
Oh.
Dawson Knox is second.
And then, okay. Is it Dalton Schultz? No, it can't be Dalton Schultz at one.
He's fourth. It's the GOAT, the walking Hall of Famer, Travis Kelce.
Despite
what you might think.
It's like been a weird year. Been a weird year for the Chiefs, but that makes sense.
He's
though.
Unreal though, dude. But he has 30 catches for 369 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Okay. Jesus. That's very quiet.
He's just getting so much more volume. Well, because the Chiefs look like shit, and so it's like
Yeah, well, I mean, like, what I've read is they are really just – they just have Tyreek and Travis. That's it. And, like, teams are just, like, keying in on those guys. And
yeah. Defense, you know, is good, and the run game is not doing much.
Hey, listen, Josh Gordon.
Hey, listen. I'm intrigued, Ben, but it's going to take a while, and I don't think he's – I think he can offer enough to offset a little bit of attention defensively.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there's not a lot to that.
No, for sure. Just a quick – Yeah, no, we're good. Move on. Let's go.
All right. Let's get right to the Grey Goose Egg of the Week. Actually, I had some cocktails this weekend, Ben. I can't say that any of them had vodka in them.
Was it open bar at the wedding?
It was. And then,
like, full open bar?
I don't know what your definition
like,
of full
like liquor?
Is, but
like liquor?
Yes.
Wow.
I think the
classy
options
stuff.
Were relatively
classy stuff, Dan.
I didn't have any cocktails at the wedding, so I can't speak to that. But it seemed like it was just like a handful of different types of liquor that you could choose from. It wasn't like this big bar setup or anything.
Sure, but still classy stuff. Then, a lot of people just do, you know, beer and wine.
Then a couple beers you could choose from, some wine. I was obviously sipping on fucking IPAs, and then eventually had an Amstel Light or two, which is like a beer that I don't ever drink. But shout out to Amstel Light. There weren't any zeros, Ben, this week that weren't injury-related. Both Galladay and Barkley scored zero, but they both got hurt, both on the Giants. But shout out to Cole Beasley. Scored 0.5 points, and Bosco still had 169.5 points. So that makes it all the more impressive. Cole Beasley's an odd cat, so we'll give him the Grey Goose Egg of the Week Award. And
Cole
then
Beasley, good guy.
Al Davis, just win baby award. Again, not applicable. Lowest scoring winner was Travis, but he was over 100 points, so we're not giving that one out today. But shout to Travis. He was
shout out to Al
at
Davis.
The wedding.
Shout out to the Raiders.
Shout out to Al
week.
Davis.
Good
yeah,
week
really
for
good
Raiders.
Week for the Raiders. Not only a good week in the PR department, but also the fact that they've lost two games in a row.
Yes.
In addition to what took place. It's almost as if, Ben, that they're reverting back to the Raiders that we've always known.
Shocking. Really shocking. Know,
it only took a couple weeks, and there they are. They're right back in a bad place. And then nothing on the Fab recap. Once again, we're going on a Tuesday. Should be back to normal schedule next week, Ben, depending on what you're up to.
Awesome. Should be available.
I got the Avs-Blackhawks game tomorrow. Looking forward to that. So that's why we're recording on a Tuesday.
Oh, love that.
But next week should be good, Wednesday. Anthony's going to be on the show. That should be absolutely electric.
Love
He's going to come in with fucking heat. I hope he goes at Ben's throat during the podcast. I truly might not even – I might just give Ben all the questions in the interview portion. A lot that can happen there. Do you think Devontae Booker's going to get a big bid, Ben?
Well, he used to be mine. You know, he used to be mine. I drafted him. Remember that?
I don't.
but it was a pretty big draft pick when I drafted him. Like, you know, 49th overall this year. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I know that he's going to be the volume. He just sucks. If you wanted me to take a guess, I'm going to say $30 max.
Okay. I can confirm, Ben, that I have a bid for him. I will not confirm the amount.
Understandable.
Could be $0, could be the full 100 that I still have. So let your imagination reign. Ben, it looks like you've taken a pretty deep dive on the week's free agent crop, and it's not spectacular.
It's not. I only have one bid in for one certain player, and the rest I'm just not that high on. Like, I know I could probably take a swing at Booker, but like, I'm not really competing. I'm kind of in a place where I'm just looking for maybe someone to stash.
Well, here's my thought, Ben. What if you took the approach of
go on
picking him up in an attempt to trade him to someone that is competing that wants him for like 3 or 4 weeks, specifically someone
like
Travis?
And I did think of that, but then I was like, man, but do I want to keep my fab for maybe someone that I like more later on in the season? That's what I was kind of leaning
towards.
Point. And I get what you're saying. That did cross my mind. I was like, I'm not gonna always.
You still got 60 bucks.
Yeah, I could bid like $35 on Booker and see if I win and then trade him. And here's the thing. I just don't know if I can get higher than a second round pick for Booker. And I feel like maybe later on in the season I can get a younger guy that I might like.
Love the reasoning, Ben. Quick shout out to Will Sale. $0 left in the budget. Went hard at the beginning of the season.
Like but I it's said,
resulted in two straight wins.
Auction with Will. Would not want to go with an auction to Will.
Wow. That's the quote of this podcast. And speaking of this podcast, I want to give a special shout out to Rico Gathers. I can confirm that he's no longer on the Cowboys. I did hear someone talk about that in like a tweet or something.
Yeah, I think I heard that too. But that's okay.
But apologies to him and his family for not mentioning him last week. We tried to make it a tradition, but just wanted to make sure we got that shout out in there. Mm-hmm. Quick preview of week six matchups, Ben. We're starting to get into the thick of things. Before we actually get into the week six preview, wanted to make a quick note about the standings, Ben. We've got all Mahomes' ball at 4-1. And then we have seven teams at 3-2, Ben. And then another two teams at 2-3. So that's a healthy portion of the league at 3-2 or 2-3. I'm not going to list out off all the names. You know who you are, but looking pretty fucking sick. That makes us a pretty big week. Mm-hmm. Ben, will you look at that? The first matchup of the week is the two hosts of this very own podcast, Skaggs Island and the Ohio State. Trap game, complete trap game. My team's reeling a bit. We're going to have to bring our A game. We definitely know not to take you lightly. Talk about a team on the rise, the Ohio State. That's a big one. Projections currently 117-84. Any thoughts on that matchup, Ben?
I mean, yeah, I don't know what my team is ever going to do. I feel like we're a little bit on the rise with our wide receivers and Trevor Lawrence playing a little bit better. But again,
Davis kind of went off, didn't he?
Yeah, he's on bye this week.
So Trevor's definitely starting against you. We'll see. You know, my team is either going to score, you know, the max of about 100 points, or it could score about 60. So you just never know.
Love it. You know what, Ben? I'm actually going to turn it over to you for the rest of these matchups. Talk to me about who we're seeing this week. Let's just, you know, throw a curveball at him.
No, actually, it's all good. I don't mind talking a little bit here. Second matchup that we're talking about.
You just
about
sound so good audio-wise, Ben. That's
well,
why,
you know, I'm, you know, here's the thing. I think maybe it's because I'm really trying. Like, I'm putting all my might into it. So maybe that's what it is. Second matchup of the week is Bees Nuts versus LaMarvelous Llamas. We got projections. The LaMarvelous Llamas projected to be 123.7. Bees Nuts right there at 100. Should be a good
both
matchup.
Both
3-2. LaMarvelous Llamas, big victory against you and scoring
big victory
79 points. Should be a big game for the standings. We'll see what happens here. Third match of the week we have is Bellify Island versus Darren Nallwallers. Both 3-2 as well. Darren Nallwallers are projected to score about 117 points. Bellify Island, 102. So Zach is favored here, but I wouldn't count out Joe's team. Daniel Jones is
part of a champion.
19. Daniel Jones is projected to score more points than Aaron Rodgers. And actually, when I look at Joe's projected leaders for the week, it is Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers, and Tua Tagovailoa. So Joe, you keep doing you, buddy. Love ya.
just three great quarterbacks, two of which definitely aren't hurt at all. But, you know, good to see.
I love Joe. Okay, so fourth matchup of the week is all Mahomes balls and San Rafael football team. 4-1 Rob versus 3-2 Travis. Projections 114-87. 87 sounds a little bit low. Let me just go check this really quickly just to see if
you I think I looked at that. It's because he's got Saquon who's hurt.
Oh, now it's down to 82. Ooh, yeah. So he yeah, might have
he's got
a tough...
some issues. He's got a thin squad.
Okay. So might be a little bit of a cakewalk for Rob this week after facing me, but you never know. Fantasy football, you just never know. So we'll see what
you
happens.
Never know, Ben.
is this the second and last matchup that I'm seeing here? Yes, it is. The second and last matchup of the week is Anthony Frenzy's squad of Golden Bandits versus Scott's squad of Scott's Tots. Two of my favorite guys in the league. If I was locked in a room with these two, I think we would be best friends forever for the rest of our life. We'd be inseparable. Scott, me, and Anthony.
Yeah.
Anthony's team projected to score a very high 125.2 points. Scott Stotts projected to score 73.5. I think Scott is embracing the suck. Like, I'm not, like, no offense to Scott. Like, I think he's full on told me this. Yeah, he's full on told me this. Like, he's like, dude, I'm just.
Well, he got his first round pick back.
Yeah, he's so, you know, I think he's.
What
just,
I like,
I mean,
is
not, the, yeah.
This week he started A.J. Dillon, like, over someone like Miles Sanders, but A.J. Dillon actually outscored him by a fair amount, which was great.
That was funny. A.J. Dillon, man, that dude is a beast. I'm not going to lie.
Big thoughts.
Scott hit me up. last matchup of the week. I think these are two of, like, the funnier names, just kind of, like, ironically for some reason. But Moz Meatloaf, Snide's team versus Bill Belichick, Williams squad. Snide's team projected to score 120.8. Williams team projected to score 103.6. Yeah, I think, you know,
both Williams the 2 and 3 teams. Those are the only two 2 and 3 teams.
Good
so
call.
That's a big one.
That's
going to separate.
Call. Great call. It will be interesting. You know, I think Jalen Hurts has been a little inconsistent. So we'll see if he puts up, you know, 15 or 25 to 30 points. And that will be big for.
They had a nice win over Carolina as a team, not necessarily his.
You know, it'd be a really gutsy move if Williams started Justin Fields over Jalen Hurts.
That would be interesting. Gutsy. He's starting to look a little bit better.
That's what I'm saying. You just never know.
I mean, these guys just get thrown in the fire so early, but that's life.
True. Have you seen this Taco Bell, this new Taco Bell commercial, by the way, where, like, this chick meets this guy at the beach, and they're, like, about to
door,
and then all of a sudden she's, like, she hears, like, a bell, and then all of a sudden she's just walking towards the Taco Bell, and she just needs a taco. Have you seen that?
No, but I love it.
It's a great commercial. Sorry. Yeah.
I mean,
it's really good.
Nothing will ever top Sunset Heart Hands, obviously. That's my
understandable
favorite all-time Taco Bell commercial, but I love it.
They've been marketing. They need to bring back the Chihuahua at one point. Just like a retro, like retro commercial, just one, you know?
Yep. Love it. Quick mention of the Michelob Ultra matchup of the week. Shouts to Michelob Ultra. Realized at the airport that Usain Bolt is also sponsored by Michelob Ultra.
Oh,
so just as a reminder, that's a beer that you run if you're in good shape, if you're into fitness, if you just want to kind of like pretend like you're part of the people that actually drink beer, but really you just drink Michelob Ultra. Rob versus Travis. We highlighted this one as the game of the week, which, you know, we might be regretting now that we've looked a little bit deeper into Travis's team. But 4-1 versus 3-2. Rob on top of the standings. Big week for San Rafael football team. They're not the deepest team in the league. Obviously had their struggles last year. Big spread on the projection, but could be a huge upset win for Travis. And then, as I kind of hinted earlier, a ton of teams at 3-2. So everyone's trying to break out of that pack. The Ben's betting corner of the week presented by Baskin Robbins. We've got no written content in here, but like I mentioned, I have a fair amount to share here, Ben.
I don't mind sharing a little bit here and there. Listen, NFL, I just can't get a read. I can't get a read on the NFL whatsoever. So
no one ever has, Ben.
Fade my picks NFL-wise. College football, I'm doing okay.
Tough Texas money line last week.
That was really tough. Would have won some parlays there. But you know what? We move on. We're okay. We hit some other ones. As you can tell from the beginning of this podcast, I have Louisiana tonight. They're doing A-OK. Just trying to think. I have a note here. Let me tell you my locks of the week here. I'm going to give you two locks, okay?
Let's hear them.
A note. I'm going to open up my notes app. I'm a big notes app guy, you know.
I'm going to open up the second beer, to be honest.
Well, I love that. You ready? Alabama minus 16.5 against Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Listen.
How about that loss last week?
Listen, we get it. Alabama lost to A&M. It was a total upset. Alabama did not play well in the first half whatsoever. I think that they are going to come out angry as fuck this week. And Mississippi State is not very good. Mike Leach plays
a small spread, though.
It is, honestly. So, I mean, I'm going to take it all day. I just think that they crush them. I think Bama could score 50 points and just crush them easily. I'm going to give you one more lock here. Let's go with a little money line action. You ready for this? Let's go with a Boston College plus 130 against North Carolina State. Boston College, coached by a Ohio State disciple. I know you're a big fan of that. I don't remember his name, to be honest with you, but he was like the former defensive coordinator there. They're a competitive team. NC State, I know they beat Clemson this year, but Clemson's really bad. So give me Boston College, money line. Let's make some money, huh?
Okay.
That's about it for you, boys. Actually, you know what? Right. Let's give you a Navy plus 10.5 on Thursday night, too.
All right. Love it. My quick shout out will be, first of all, to the Odd 13 Brewing Company, specifically the Hopperella India Pale Ale, Lafayette, Colorado. That's what we're drinking tonight.
Okay.
And we actually had some success last night. We went with this. Colts plus 7.5, parlayed with the Giants money line. Absolute mess trying to watch both those games on Southwest bullshit live TV Wi-Fi that wasn't working, but both hit. Nice little parlay there. And then tonight we've Tampa by 1.5 over the Penguins. We've got Vegas by 1.5 over your Kraken. My apologies. Vegas is my squad, as you know. The problem is, Ben, both of them are both minus 200 favorites, so that's not fun to bet on.
That's not
and
fun.
So though. We just went with the two goals. And then the Giants on the money line again. So we've got some mix of parlays between all those three teams.
Love that.
And
so go ahead. Finish what you're going to say.
No, you're good.
Finish what you're going to say, because I was going to ask about your Southwest flight.
I was truly going to throw us to the commercial break. So
talk to me. Quick Southwest. Your Southwest flight didn't get canceled?
It did not. It got switched from a direct.
Did you hear about all that?
Yes, I did.
Pretty crazy stuff.
Both directions, they got switched from direct flights to having layovers. Both of them were delayed. Security thought I was born in 1958. It's just...
Whoa.
Things are a mess.
Feel like you were born in 1958, right?
In their defense, that's my dad's birth year. He has the same birthday as me. He probably booked this flight anyway, and so that was where it was, but I just was not having Southwest.
Dad's only
today.
8 years older than mine. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a little commercial break. Let's cut to
on the other side. We're gonna get some.
We're gonna make some money somehow on this. You know.
That's right, brother.
Talk to you soon.
Peace. I just want to take a quick moment to thank our title sponsor, Cheez-Its. Greatest snack brand in the world, specifically the four cheese flavor, the single greatest snack of all time. We want to thank them for sponsoring the show. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. If you don't like Cheez-Its, go fuck yourself. Back to the pod. Daniel?
Drew, can you hear me?
I can hear you excellently. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Ben will hop on in a sec. He's been sent the link as well.
Lovely.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Of course. Of course.
After a big weekend. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. It was pretty incredible, I must say.
It really was. In beautiful Sonoma County. Ben, can you hear us?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Loud and clear.
And congrats, buddy.
Thank you very much, Ben. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. I'm happy for you guys. Good for you guys.
Thank you.
And good for the pup. You guys still have the pup, right?
We do, yeah. Yeah,
she's Sadie the ring bearer.
That's awesome.
She came down. She wasn't technically holding the rings, but she came down the aisle.
She might have swallowed it, so good call. You never know.
Yeah, not quite trustworthy enough. Wasn't trying to have anything happen there.
Makes sense. That's awesome. I couldn't really tell from where I was sitting. I just saw her run. I'm like, oh, she does something. Well, yeah, what we're going to do, we're going to dive much deeper into this weekend when we get to the interview portion. But as always, we like to make some picks before we get to the interview portion. Just talk betting here a little bit. Quick update on the records. Ben has dropped to 5-7 after losing both the Seattle and Baltimore picks last week. Did win Buffalo over Kansas City. The guest picker has also fallen to 5-7. Lost the exact same games, won the exact same Buffalo game.
Dan needs a big week
for the guest picker. And then bolting into the lead after two straight 2-1 weeks, Andrew Skaggs Rams, Colts, loss on the Chiefs. Never betting on the Chiefs again. Hate it. This week we've got Tampa Bay at Philadelphia on Thursday. Philadelphia is +7. Dan, what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to go with Tampa Bay here on this one. Just too much talent on the offensive side of the ball. You know, I know that the Eagles gutted out one over the Panthers this last weekend, but I'm still kind of out on how strong the Panthers are. I know this is the Sam Darnold podcast. I don't know if I still fully believe in them just yet. And I don't think the Eagles
are going
to beat them.
Yeah, I agree. I might not feel as strongly about their defense as I know Ben does, but and you know, we obviously both know that Darnold's still pretty average. But Ben, thoughts on this game?
It was a tough loss for our Panthers last week in Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, I have a Panthers shirt and an Air Cam sweatshirt, so you know,
yeah, you know how it goes. I will also be taking Tampa Bay -7 here. I was close to picking Philly. It's at Philly. Touchdown seems a little high. I was thinking maybe a little close. Crowd's going to be into it. But Tampa Bay is just too damn good, and Philly's just not that good. So they just have so many wide receivers on that team, Tampa Bay. And I just don't know how Philadelphia's going to cover them all. So give me Tampa Bay -7 here.
All right, I'm going to take the same, and that's all I'll say, as the Bucs don't deserve any of my airwaves. Sunday Night Football – Seattle at Pittsburgh, Ben's beloved Seahawks, sans Russell Wilson. Geno Smith getting the start, Ben?
Yeah, unless Blake Bortles comes in and just, you know, really just impresses.
Wow the room.
Yeah, exactly. Geno Smith should get the start, yes.
Sounds good. Pittsburgh's favored by 4.5. In my opinion, they should really flex out of this game, but I know it's too early in the season for that. Mm-hmm. Dan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just going to have to ride. Really betting on my boy Najee Harris to have a big night in this game, you know.
Seahawks have a good defense this year.
They
really good.
So, you know, I'm really I'm thinking we get more of last drive of last week's game, Geno, than we do, you know, everything before that.
Yeah.
Against Pittsburgh defense, and, you know, Geno shows his true colors.
Love it. Ben?
Well, I'm just hoping that defenses are going to have to adjust to Geno Smith here. You just never know with Geno.
Yeah.
It's been years since anyone's seen him live, so you just don't know what's in the bag for Geno Smith. So in that reason, I'm going to take Seattle +4.5. No, to be honest with you, I don't know. It's going to be tough. But I just feel like... Yeah, and it is in Pitt. That's why it's a little tougher. But I just feel like somewhere Seattle rallies here behind Russell being out, you know, on the road.
Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah, and I think they kind of don't remind me of 05. That's a bad Super
Fresh
Bowl.
Fresh on both teams' minds 16 years ago.
Yeah, that's – I remember I was heartbroken as a child watching that game, so upset with the refs. That was the first time I was ever so upset with the refs. 12-year-old Ben just yelling at the refs.
I can picture it clearly.
Oh, it was bad. But I just think Seattle pulls off some magic here. I don't think they win the game, but I think they keep it close and competitive and just kind of pull together here and play a decent game.
All right. I got Pittsburgh -4.5. Nothing else to say about that either. Not here to provide analysis.
It is. Picks. It's a bad game. We shouldn't have to watch it. It's going to be a bad game. It's going to be ugly.
I'll enjoy it, though. Monday Night Football might be the best primetime game of the week. We're not sure, but Buffalo at Tennessee is intriguing. Tennessee getting 5.5 points at home. As we talked about, Buffalo looking tremendous. But, you know, two of the better teams in the AFC, I think most would still agree. Tennessee's obviously inconsistent, but how do you see that one shaking out, Dan?
Yeah, I'm blowing this one. I think I'm thinking, honestly, a 10-point victory or so for Buffalo here. Yep. And I just, you know, I will be the first to admit I was so wrong on Josh Allen. I thought he was going to be so terrible coming out of school. Yep. And he's really, really, really improved, and it's pretty incredible to watch.
Ben?
Andrew, you go first because you got the different one here. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I'm curious. The Titans plus 5.5 because I was, since the day I was born, I'm just like always trying to be different, you know, especially when it comes to sports teams. And so it just, you know, coming off a big win against Kansas City at Tennessee, obviously would help if Julio Jones plays. I don't know. This is just one of those ones where, like, the obvious pick would be Buffalo. But, like, when you pick the obvious pick in the NFL, that usually ends up being wrong, especially from a betting perspective.
Sure.
And so we're just throwing out Tennessee plus 5.5, just like Indy plus 7.5 last week. I didn't necessarily think they would keep it as close as they did last night. So we're going for it, Ben. And go tight.
No.
You know, I was a Steve McNair, Eddie George guy way back.
Sure. VY. VY all day, every day.
Loved VY.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, come on now. Those are just memories for days, huh? No, I don't hate the pick. I guess I just think Tennessee's really bad, like really bad. I don't think they're very good this year. Like the defense.
What changed just, from last year, though? That's what
I think. The defense is just not playing well whatsoever, which is surprising under Mike Vrabel. You know,
right?
The offensive line. Really struggling. I mean, you know, the fact that Taylor Lewan gave up 5 sacks in the first game is not you know, tough. But the run game is always going to work for them.
Yeah, it seems like Derrick Henry's hit his stride.
Oh, no, I would say that against the Hawks for sure. Yeah, that worked for them. But I just think Buffalo's a complete wagon right now as well. Yeah, and I think that they're just – oh, man, they are so good. And I just think I just think 5.5 is low here, but yeah, I'm still gonna take Buffalo minus 5.5. But I can see where you're coming from, and also Zach's dad's rule is always plus 5.5. You take the plus 5.5, right?
That's a good question. We'll have to get confirmation from him. But that sounds
I think he
right.
said that a couple. Yeah, I think that was the rule for
Greg.
Greg, yeah. So that was Greg Ferrando's, whatever you pronounce it, rule or whatever. So interesting. You just never know.
Yep. Love it. Quick hockey update. The Penguins are officially on the board. First goal of the season. 1-0. Wow. And then Streak of the Cast doesn't even have the respect of putting the Kraken logo, on that pick. It's just a puck with a stick.
It's fucked up. So it's fucked up.
Couldn't even dig up the logo. That's sad. Manager interview. Daniel Pilger, thanks for joining us. Bees
thanks for
nuts.
Having me on, gents.
Hell yeah. Sits at 3-2 here. Last year's struggles and tanking well documented, but the team is much improved this season. Huge 1-point win this week. When you listen, you'll learn that was the Geico game of the week versus Joe. 4 of the 5 weeks, over 100 points. Talk to us about the state of Bees Nuts.
You know, I was feeling really, really confident about this year coming out of the draft, and we have just been really hit so hard by injuries right now. We've got like 7 guys on IR currently at the moment, and didn't have a lot of depth going into the season. So, you know, I've been really stoked that the team has turned it around so well coming off of last year's, as you said, well-documented struggles, self-inflicted, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it's – I think we might peter out here, which wouldn't be the worst thing to get another high draft pick. I just don't know that the team as it's currently constructed can beat the juggernaut that Anthony has put together at the moment.
So, yeah.
But we'll see.
The Dobbins injury kind of set the tone. DJ Chark recently, that hurt to see. I know there's more than that as well. But quickly, speaking of Bees Nuts – you've clearly found your franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. Some would argue the MVP front runner. You don't have to look at Baker's ugly mug in your starting lineup anymore. Have you had any internal discussions of a name change?
Yeah, that's you know, something that back burner. You know, the organization was so busy leading up to the draft, just trying to get everything nailed down and make sure it was make sure, you know, the cards fell the way we wanted them to. Now that we're past that and a few weeks into the season, we recently contacted a PR marketing firm and have contracted them to look into a potential name change.
Was it the same PR marketing firm that Mikey's hired?
I wish we had the capital to hire them, but after the incredible transformation of the LaMarvelous Llamas, Jesus, Drew, I'm with you.
That's it's a hard one.
We dude. Have that. Hey, I did it as well earlier.
You know, after the incredible branding that they came through with, prices have just jumped a bit, so it might be a little more great.
Yeah,
that's understandable.
Makes sense. Speaking of that draft in the offseason, pretty impressive bringing in both Najee Harris and Ja'Marr Chase. We heard a little bit about what went down when William was on the podcast, but just talk to us about kind of how the offseason draft evolved and ultimately knowing that you're going to get, well, in most people's eyes, the top two players with the top three picks.
Yeah, so I was I'd say we went fully into draft mode at Matt Jaspering's wedding. Shout Matt Jaspering, a groomsman of mine for the
shouts.
Arizona boys who don't know. He got married in July and randomly a plus one at that wedding, which was a legendary appearance. And it was like a 30-40 person wedding. So it was just, you know,
and Trav was there as well, obviously.
Trav was there as well. And so Will and I got to talking at that wedding, and we basically came to terms on a swap 3 for 5. And at the time, Trav had been saying that he was going ETN2. So Will knew that one of the three of like Devontae Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, or Kyle Pitts would be there at 5 if I went 2. So he wouldn't agree to anything hard set in stone until he saw kind of how the draft shook out. Obviously, as we're getting closer, Travis has switched his mind from ETN, and so Will is pretty much out on trading me, and it starts dawning on me that I'm going to have to kind of switch things up if I want to get the two players I was really, really interested in. So, started talking with Trav about trading for the second pick and just doing a swap straight up with him. And I want to read you what we eventually got really close to doing, because it ended up being way more value than Trav got otherwise. I was offering the 5th pick, 13th pick, a 2023 first rounder for 2 and a 2023 second. And Trav wouldn't do that with me. He's
a stern negotiator.
He is a stern negotiator for sure. And so at that point it was like, okay, I really gotta figure something out. And I think I'm gonna have to take Ja'Marr 1 if I really want him. Otherwise he's gone. And then, you know, the morning of the draft, I was calling Trav, still trying to get the pick swap locked in, and started planting the seed that I wanted to take Pitts at 2, just so that if he was knowing if I took Ja'Marr at 1, Trav would think that Pitts. So I ended up doing that last minute, taking Ja'Marr at 1, and it worked. I broke Trav's brain. He even texted me after that he froze and didn't know what to do there. So I had that. I texted Will immediately when Trav took Pitts, knowing that he'd want to swap out of that. And we had the trade pretty much locked in from a few months ago. So he said, let's do it. And I was on such a high, just pure adrenaline after that.
Yeah, seriously. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
It was a lot of fun. It's what fantasy football is all about, you know?
It really is. And Trav, yeah, I love him. Does a lot of research and he gets into the draft and he's just a head case. can't make any decisions.
Yeah.
Any I'd thoughts also... on...
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Drew. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, any thoughts on Najee's gate?
Yeah, I was going to say I would like to address Will's comments on Najee's gate. The first thing I did today when I saw that this question was on there was went up and pulled Najee college highlights and Derrick Henry college highlights.
Ooh.
And I just have to say that I can't tell you how similar they are. And okay. You know,
like that.
If Will thinks that's a bad gate, then give me that gate with a 6-foot running back all day. You know, I will take the second Derrick Henry.
Love it. I've literally never heard of that term before. Will said it on that podcast. Crazy world we live in.
Love
Ben,
it.
Go ahead. I'm going to dish it over to you, dude.
Gotcha. I just love the gate. I love that's become part of the pod. Speaking of trades, you've got seven players currently on IR, and things are getting awfully thin from a depth perspective. Have you been engaged in trade talks lately in an attempt to further your playoff push? Yeah, earlier you almost sound like you're like ready to peter out maybe and maybe start making some future trades. I don't know. How do you feel?
Yeah, and that's something, you know, I got to think about. This next week will be really kind of crucial in that decision, kind of see where I'm at after six games. But we really can go, you know, we're sitting at 4-2. I think that might be the move. I have reached out to a few owners about some potential players that I might be interested in and just kind of got to put my head together and think of some interesting packages. You know, I don't have a lot of players that I'm ready or willing to give up or that would be of any value. So, you know, going to have to try to find a way to trade future picks if I want to make a playoff push.
That makes sense. We did talk earlier about how big of a week it is of how many 3-2 and 2-3 teams we really have. And it's just going to separate this week. So it will be interesting.
Right.
I think teams are going to start pushing, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have 8 people at 3-2, and then it's like it's first, second, and then ninth place when I was looking at the standings earlier today.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Andrew, would you like me to keep asking the rest of the questions here?
You're balling, Ben. Just hoping Dan has got some best and worst trades for us.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any best or worst trades? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, I think my worst trade was the trade that kicked off my rebuild, to be honest. And I was so hyped that I made the decision to just sell everybody that I was like locked in on getting a top pick. And that was more important than anything. I traded Adam Thielen and Keenan Allen basically for like the second pick in the draft, who was going to be Jonathan Taylor, and like a 2023 first rounder from Scott.
Interesting.
Which is a lot of value for not a lot in return. And I think I was just too excited. I traded the second pick for Amari Cooper and DJ Chark. So I basically like did Keenan Allen and Adam Thielen for Amari Cooper and DJ Chark, which I don't know. We'll see how that plays out in the long run, but it wasn't great value, I wouldn't say.
DJ Chark is tough.
Yeah, with how he has performed, it's a tough one.
God, he looked good for a sec though.
I know.
No, he did. He did.
Yeah, which is he's just kind of been injured, I feel like, for the last
still
year
promising with Lawrence, but
he's one of those LSU wide receivers. You just never know.
Yeah. I would say my best trade is absolutely, this was kind of in the same week there when I was just selling off anybody of any value on my team. I offloaded Mark Ingram for Trav's first round pick, which ended up being the 5th pick in the draft. And then Mark Ingram having like 250 yards.
Oh my god!
Hey,
when we have Travis on, that worst trade segment's gonna be brutal.
Who did you end up getting with the 5th pick? Do you remember?
Well, I traded the 5th pick for the 3rd, and I got Najee Harris with the 3rd.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Mark Ingram is still a starting running back, so you know he's got some value, right?
I mean, I think he's like projected for like
he's 3.3.
Oh boy.
That was a tough one for Trav.
Love that. Sure, yeah. Any more trades that stand out to you over the years, or should we move on to the more fun stuff?
No, yeah, I can't say any are really coming to mind that were super pivotal.
As everyone knows by now, you tied the knot this past week with Kelly with many league members in attendance. Yeah. Talk to us about the weekend. How was it?
absolutely incredible weekend. Just want to give a shout out to all the league members that were there, and you know, all the league members that were there with us in spirit. It was just, the weather was perfect. It was like 70 degrees on the day of, which, you know, when you're wearing a suit is pretty fine, you know, not sun is out, but not too hot. Surrounded by friends and family, we had a, basically got in and just made steaks Thursday night, and then Friday we played some golf in the morning. And
did you say made steaks?
Yeah, like grilled steaks.
Love that.
A little tri-tip action. Shouts Kevin Cody for manning the grill the whole time. That was great.
Shouts. And is that her brother or dad?
That's her dad. Yeah.
That's a dad Friday, thing.
Friday was golf at Mayakama. Great course. And then welcome wine event. We did some wine tasting and said hi. I mean, the funny thing about a wedding is that you don't really ever get a chance to, as the bride or groom, to like really talk to your guests, because you're constantly making the rounds and saying hi to people, and it's like very kind of surface level. Giving them a thank you and all that. That part is a little tough, and it's, you know, you obviously want to be enjoying it with the people you love, and you are, but it's just, it's an interesting perspective for sure, being on the other side.
Right. There isn't enough time to slow down and have.
Right. You got to pull those like moments aside. You got to make them happen really, but it's tough. But, and then, you know, the wedding itself was short and sweet. I like a short ceremony. We had
shout out to you guys.
We had a bit of a mishap. My bride got, we were taking like some last photos right before dinner, and we were out in the vineyard, and she got stung on the head by a bee.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Which, could, you know, that could be an absolute night ender or whatever. But seriously. Very, didn't call it too bad. And she was a trooper about it. And, you know, we went straight to dinner. Toughed it out. Yeah. I mean,
that's awesome.
Shout out to her.
Tougher than an OBJ.
And then we had a band. We had a live band, and they rocked and just crushed it on the dance floor before going back to the Flamingo and having the after party there. You know, we had a few boys get a little too drunk, both during the wedding and at the after party. But
next question, actually. I actually, so, and the reason why I asked this question is because I did go to a wedding about 2 weeks ago. And there was an incident where one of our buddies just, man, a little too much and caused a scene. So my question is, be honest, were you worried that one of these degenerates from our league was going to get too drunk?
Not even just from our league, just amongst friends.
That's true. Like, your next question, Max Hillman, like, that makes total sense too. So, like, were you worried about anyone getting too drunk at your wedding and doing something ridiculous? And if so, did you have a plan to handle that situation?
You know, honestly, it was not something that was running through my mind a lot.
Okay.
Could have been more aware of it. That's good, though. But that's good, though,
that you have, like, friends that you trust.
I would say that I would kind of have expected it at the after party. Not the reception, but so, yeah, I don't know. A plan to handle it at the reception, definitely not. At the after party, you know, I have enough, we had enough friends and family to like get people in an Uber that we weren't super worried about it, which we ended up having to do with one of my buddies. So
love it. Yeah, you know, no, I mean, at the wedding I was at, it wasn't like anything too bad either. We just had to like kind of just be like, pull them aside and just be like, okay, dude, time to figure it out. So, you know, just seeing if maybe, like, you know, I don't know, Zach, you know, Zach just, like, no, blacked Zach's, out.
No, Zach's just a mature adult. It's sad.
Yeah, Zach is, McCoy was not at the wedding, I'll say that.
No, he only Zach talks to parents now. He doesn't hang out with the boys. He's just, you know, he's just brown-nosing everyone. Daniel.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Did you have any interactions with Max Hillman on Saturday?
This is a former member of the league, Max Hillman, right?
Briefly,
I think I may have hit his jewel, like, for a second. But that was about it. And honestly, the only other thing I saw was him during my brother's speech, like walking out behind him with his like belt undone and his shirt on top.
Yeah.
Coming back from the bathroom. So, Drew, that was actually a question I had to you. You know, can you talk a little bit about Women's Day on Saturday?
Him and Jay?
Huh?
You said him and Jay?
Or no, Hillman's Day.
Oh, he was just, I mean, by all accounts, the drunkest person at the party. I didn't see him fall asleep during the reception. That's what they call the thing after the ceremony?
Correct.
Cool. I didn't see him fall asleep there, but I heard that as well. I mean, the main way I knew, I mean, he started with a screwdriver early at the pool.
Good times.
But the main way I knew is, again, the pool was a fucking vibe beforehand at the Flamingo, let me tell you that. But at the little outdoor ordering food and drinks place, he orders a screwdriver, and some other people have heard the story already, but the lady goes, oh, my girl Diana, she goes, do you want a water with that? Because he was clearly drunk. And he's like, water? Barely know her. You know, that classic line. And then just proceeds to leave the screwdriver on the counter. Doesn't even take it with him after ordering it.
Oh, my God.
You know, and then I was faced with that moral decision. Do I bring him the drink or, like, fucking give it to someone else? But I did give it to him. And, yeah, he was hammered. But luckily with him, he's pretty quiet when he's drunk. He's just fucked up. So he's not going to do anything like ridiculous, but
no, it wasn't. I mean, and Chelsea got him out of there too after dinner or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
It was not a hindrance at all. And Bride didn't even notice. So
in terms of the odds from the Bosco pod, really no one. Jay's like, oh, you must not have seen me at weddings. Jay's pretty mellow. I mean, me, Gabe, and Colin were all pretty drunk, but, you know, nothing crazy. And then
you got pretty
Ernst, for sure. Ernst, well, yeah. But Friday night, dude, he was hammered. And that's when I first met him, because I remember when I came and visited that I think I met him back when we were in college. But Friday night, I'm like, okay, this is Ernst. I could definitely see where Bosco was going with that. also that. A scooter accident victim, Ben. So.
Yes.
Wow.
Three of them at the wedding specifically.
The Colorado crew has three friends that have had major scooter accidents. Ernst.
Wow.
Broke his arm. Jesus. Our buddy Deitch smashed his face.
Yep.
And then our buddy Germ.
Germ
broke his wrist.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Shout out to Lime. Another one.
Stay off the scooters, boys.
Yeah.
Stay off the scooters. Love that.
Oh, wow. We've got comments at the bottom. How exciting. I haven't even looked at these. This is a fun one. In an alternate universe where same-sex couples were the only thing allowed, which Dynasty Kings League member would you marry, Dan?
All right. I actually texted Drew about this question when I saw it. I love this question. I have some thoughts on this question, too. I'll say, first off, if I was going to be marrying for, like, a trophy husband, it'd definitely be Anthony. You know,
Great call.
He's just a stunner, dude. I mean, look at really that man. Is.
Hate him. But yeah,
Ben, I think we would work really well together, to be honest.
Thank you.
I
can't appreciate
say
that.
I know you super well, but we both love smoking pot and we'd be super chill.
Very and chill. It'd just be very chill.
A lot of football.
Dogs, football, and pot.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, if I had to choose one, I don't think there's a major surprise here, but I think Scott and I would be just a power couple. Absolute, successful, good-looking power couple that loves wine and and dogs. I know Scott's also getting a dog, so
that's right.
I'm drinking some wine right now. That's kind of why I said that.
Love it.
Last quick question. I'll be in attendance for this all-important Arizona-Colorado football game on Saturday. Any thoughts on how that's going to go down?
Oh God, we are both so fucking terrible, but I'm gonna have to pick my Buffs here.
Of course,
getting the second win of the year.
For context, the one win between the two teams was over Northern Colorado. There are no other wins in this matchup. Arizona lost to NAU. Yikes.
Yeah,
major yikes. But, big yikes.
But that's why they make beer. You know, we'll have a good time.
It should be a beautiful day up in Folsom.
I'm excited. You got a couple of questions for us, Dan?
I do. Did we want to do name that league member first, or are we doing questions?
Well, for the second consecutive week, I don't have anyone in mind. Didn't even prep for that portion of it. I'm going to brainstorm for a sec, but let's go to your questions first.
Yeah. You know, I asked you about Hillman's Day, but you know, tell me about your weekend, Drew. Did you enjoy the wedding weekend, and you know, just any highlights or lowlights?
Yeah. Oh, I had a blast. There's definitely no lowlights.
Love to hear that.
You know, now that I don't live there anymore, trips home mean a bit more between seeing friends and family, and I think a fair amount of people I hadn't seen since I moved to Denver in 6 months, so that was lovely. Nice. Wine tasting was awesome. We had a nice little dinner at Salt and Stone on Friday night. Got pretty sauce that night, honestly, and then ended up going to Grayton.
I forgot you guys went to Grayton.
Yeah, just had to mention the word around Colin, and the lift was on its way. Catherine Minnick and Mike Pro also joined us. Pretty electric crew. Everyone at least was even or won money. Catherine turned $40 into $200 real quick. That was sick.
That's epic.
Masks and plexiglass at the blackjack table is not my dream betting scenario, but we survived.
Wow.
Saturday, woke up, probably still a little bit buzzed, decided we're going to go run some suicides. You know, because I'm just a different beast these days. And then played some tennis with Colin, and then went to IHOP for breakfast with Jay and Artie.
Wow.
Forgot how good IHOP is. Reese's Pieces pancakes, not great. Probably a 6 out of 10, but glad I tried them. And then we ran into Anna and Shannon and Alex Elliott and some folks and played some more tennis. Because at that point, we're like, all right, it's either start drinking beer or play tennis. And so, you know, we made adult decisions and continued to exercise that morning. Wow. And then the rest of the day was just spent vibing at the pool, drinking and playing cornhole. Mike Pro was throwing up. And then
was Mike Pro fucked up?
On Friday night, yeah. So the next morning he was struggling. but, you know, Mike's a fucking legend and he bounced back as always.
Of course.
And then, yeah, the wedding was spectacular ceremony. Love I didn't that. Do nearly as much dancing as I thought I would. I'll be honest, the night was relatively blurry when the band came on, so maybe that's why, but don't remember doing a ton of dancing. My pants were also too big and ripped, so that was, you know, a business decision. And then the after party at the Flingo, really good times. Glad we got to talk for a bit, Dan, and just seeing everyone, seeing some of the parents. The Flamingo is sick. Like, I don't care what Molly Halsonson says. I fucking liked it.
Yeah, it was dope.
She's got high standards, though. I get it. and then
Sunday. Did she know the owner or some shit, too?
Yeah, some bullshit. And she had too many things to say about everything, quite frankly. But
sounds like Anthony.
It was a great weekend. Got home at 1 a.m. last night. Stop flying Southwest if you're a Southwest guy. It's just not a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 25% of their flights over the weekend were canceled or something like that. Yeah.
So sick.
Well, Andrew, glad you had a good time. Ben, we'll go to you next. How many rips or hits do you have every day? And what is your preferred method of ingestion of THC?
My only method of THC consumption right now is vapes, pens.
Yeah,
that's all I do. I probably take 10 to 20 rips per day on that thing. Currently, I am a full-time student doing online school. And yep. I work at a Sherwin-Williams where I mix paint. And I just, like, manage the store a little bit. And no one's ever there. So that's pretty easy to get away there with that, too. So, yeah, that's just how it goes down. Good times, though.
I love it. Drew, we'll go back to you on this. Top three most important things to know or remember about being a great fantasy football commissioner.
Wow. And rumor has it, Daniel, that you do run a fantasy league between some of your boys. Yes,
I do, with the Colorado Crew. And that's, you know, I'm really just,
and they were talking some shit.
Well, you know, I don't think they know anything better. So, no, they weren't talking shit, but I'm definitely not as good as you are.
Three important things to know. First and foremost, just trying to make everyone happy. So I truly, like my perfect role as commissioner is, like, no conflict. So that's why I was struggling with the Fantasy Golf League this year, because there was a lot of conflict, a lot of complaining members just, like, causing bullshit. Cough, Artie Monsbach. But the biggest thing is just, like, lack of conflict, put everyone else's interests before mine. In our main league, we had a scoring debacle that ESPN kept going back and forth on between Zach and I each week. I know everyone's joking when they say that it's rigged and all this shit, but, like, truly, I'd rather lose the matchup than, like, you know, have all the controversy surrounding a stat correction or whatever. Other than that, I just try to stay organized. I love Google Docs and Google Sheets. I'm always playing ahead. Like the Dynasty Draft 2023 doc is already in existence. Waiting in the wings, you know.
Incredible.
And other than that, I mean, you know, I don't have to deal with the social issues that someone like Roger Goodell deals with, but just trying to listen, take feedback.
And I was just going to say, like, I feel like you mentioned it, Skaggs, like, we do have a pretty good group of guys playing this league, and the group chat's awesome. Always a lot of fun.
And that helps. That gives me energy to do it.
For sure.
If it's a dormant league with dormant members, that's why I'm like, fuck this.
And I think what's cool about it is everyone can give each other shit, too, and everyone takes the shit really well. You know what I'm saying? So that's just a sign of a good fantasy league. So, yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely. All right, Glenn, we got a spicy one for this last one here. With Pete Carroll being a 9/11 truther, what other out there conspiracies do you think he believes in? And what is your favorite conspiracy, or the one you believe is real?
Gotcha. Yeah. This is a good question. And what's funny is I just saw that. I saw this like 10 minutes ago, so I was just like brainstorming stuff. And it was crazy what my brain thought of. But first of all, Pete Carroll, just to kind of clarify this story, just in case not everyone's heard it on the, you know, in the league, the Seahawks and him had a army general in that was like there during like everything, and just to visit like the VMAC and the team and everything like that. And Pete Carroll ended up sitting down with him, and I don't know what he was thinking, but I guess he supposedly just asked him, like, was 9/11 like an inside job? What do you know about it? Stuff like that. So, yeah, Pete Carroll, 9/11 truther. I'm assuming that. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, clarify, like, do you think that's like the hardcore kind of like liberal side of it, where it's like Bush administration did it?
That's like when it says inside job. That's a great question. I think so. He's like a vegan. He's like, dude, he's like full on like. Yeah, Pete's a vegan. Yeah, Pete's a vegan. Yeah. Like, he like doesn't eat anything bad. He's like Tom Brady, like sort of like diet.
Yeah, trust me, we're surrounded by these folks in Marin,
and that's where he's from, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like, yeah, I don't know. Great football coach. I think he's a crazy motherfucker, but a great football coach. I'm sure that he believes in so many other things. I feel like, man, what did he like? Anytime you hear Pete Carroll speak, even like when he's speaking about the Seahawks, he always kind of like just like answers and like open-ended like answers. And you're just like, okay, this motherfucker's like kind of crazy the way he's answering questions. So I'm assuming he believes in Bigfoot, aliens, all those sort of things. Everything possible.
I feel like he's not a big Western medicine guy either.
Oh, definitely not. No, for sure not. I mean, he's vaccinated, supposedly.
Love to hear that.
Well, if he's an intense liberal, then that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I don't know.
It can ping pong back the other way, though, Drew. I mean, there was like a measles outbreak in Marin the other day because people weren't vaccinating their kids. Not the other day. I think that was like a year or two ago, but.
Jay Cutler status. Jay Cutler status out there.
Jay.
Shout out to Jay Cutler. Yes. We don't talk enough about Jay Cutler on this podcast.
That's a true statement. Was that our group
saying that
Sage Steele and Jay Cutler?
And Sage gets all the shit and no one even is like surprised that Jay's saying that shit.
Oh, definitely not. No, absolutely not. Shout out to Sage Steele too. Yeah. I would say that my favorite conspiracy is the Denver airport one. Have you guys heard about that one?
No, but that's my least favorite place on earth. So talk to
supposedly,
me.
Supposedly.
Let's get into it. I love it.
Supposedly. Okay. And I've only been to the Denver airport once. Well, I've been there twice, you know, flying in and out.
I hate it.
But when you like drive into it, it looks so crazy to me. It looks insane. Yep. And so this is what I'm reading on Wikipedia. Some theorists believe that the Denver International Airport stands above an underground city which serves as headquarters of the New World Order. Now, the New World Order is like all the rich, like, you know, politicians and celebrities and athletes, you know, just the rich people who like run the world. Theorists cite the airport's unusually large size, its distance from Denver city center. It's not close to Denver. It's out in the middle of fucking nowhere. Masonic and alleged satanic symbols. It's got like a big fucking Pegasus horse with bright eyes out in the front of it. You guys ever seen that one? It's insane.
Yeah. Who is God? By the way, that horse killed its creator. They were putting the head on and it snapped off the chain and crushed the guy who created it.
Insane. And then one more sentence here, as well as a set of murals, which include depictions of war and death.
Yep.
And like I've heard that they've got crazy, they've got crazy like. And I've walked through there, and like I was like, "What am I looking at right now? This is insane stuff that I'm looking at, like on the walls." So let me tell you, dude, Denver Airport, watch out.
I fucking love that, Ben. It's a great conspiracy theory.
Don't even get me started, Ben. I know nothing about the conspiracy. I just know one of the first times I was ever there was the Jordan Spieth Masters collapse. I was in the airport when it happened, so that's a bad omen.
Yeah.
And then every time I'm there lately, it's delayed or canceled flights, weird service.
It's the NWO, dude. NWO.
People telling me what to do getting on an airplane. Like you know how, like, in security, they let, like, 10 people too many through the thing at once, and then you're all gathered waiting for your luggage. And I'm like, oh, don't just stand there. And it's just like, oh, well, where are we supposed to go? Because we're all here waiting for our fucking shit. But you put us all through the fucking thing, you know? It's almost as if this happened like this weekend. Like, what a world. All right. I came up with Name That League member. Ben, you're not going to be able to guess. Well, you can guess second, but you'll know who this is. Half-baked, but Daniel, this league member is a huge fan of Blink-182 and is the best FIFA player in the league.
Love it.
Interesting. I feel like... Oh, man, I don't know. Best FIFA player in the league.
And
don't forget the Blink-182.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
Snides. That's correct.
Oh, let's go.
Love it.
Snides is a soccer player, right?
He is.
Yeah. All right. Okay. That's where I was going with the FIFA. And
I love that. And one of the few that I know that likes good old classic rock. Not classic, but whatever genre Blink-182 is.
I will shout out Blink-182, Tom DeLonge, huge alien conspiracy theorist guy now. So
wow. Oh, big conspiracy theory episode.
Yeah. Stay woke on that.
Yeah. Always. Exactly.
Any parting thoughts for us, either of you boys?
I just want to say thank you for having us on. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me on, boys. It was it's been a pleasure, Drew. So good seeing you at the wedding, and Ben, well, it's been good chatting with you, and just a wonderful little evening here. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, love is absolutely alive.
Love is
love.
I should probably go get back to my wife now.
That's right. Oh, give her our best.
All right. See you, boys.
Adios. Peace.